This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Good evening, Melbourne, and welcome into The Locker Room on Joy 94.9. The Locker Room is your sports show with news from around the world and keeping you up to date from a queer perspective. Smithy, welcome into The Locker Room.
Great to be here again.
So what have we got on tonight's show?
This week, you and I went out to the Pride football tournament, which is the tournament between the gay clubs from Sydney and Melbourne, both boys and girls.
I've got something to confess to you. I actually took my shorts with me. I was hoping they were going to let me on the field, which didn't actually happen.
Yeah, so I think you have to be able to play football a little bit.
What else we got on?
So we're chatting to some of the people. We're playing some interviews that we recorded while we're at the tournament. We're also interviewing Belle Brockhoff. She's an openly lesbian snowboarder who is competing in the Olympics in Sochi.
Ooh, exciting
stuff. So that's pretty exciting stuff. And look, it's been very controversial about whether it's okay for gay athletes and gay spectators to go to those Olympic Games. So I'm sure we've got some good questions for her about what her plans are.
And with the balmy weather, we must be starting to look forward to some more summery sports.
That's right. And what could be more summery than lawn bowls?
Oh, exactly.
You know, big wide-brimmed hats and daggy coloured clothing and, you know, a glass of EB afterwards. So we're going to have a chat with Adam, who's a keen lawn bowler, to find out how you can get involved with that.
And who have you got sitting right next to you, Smithy?
Well, it's a bit of a blast from the past. Our old mate, Ben Lankin.
Good
Welcome,
evening,
Ben.
Gents, pleasure to be here.
Oh, good.
We're going to have to wrestle that microphone off you, aren't we?
No, I'm going to be very self-controlled this evening. I haven't said anything yet. I've lasted, 6 minutes and 48 seconds.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Can't last.
All right, we'll see how you go during the roundup. Let's update you on all the things sport. I'm going to get this right tonight. It's not Sochi, it's Sochi. That's still probably wrong. while many Olympic host countries take steps to monitor communications for security reasons, Russia has taken surveillance to a new level, according to American sources. Russia has installed an all-encompassing surveillance system. It allows security services to listen in on athletes' and visitors' conversations. A system known as SORM, S-O-R-M, was developed by the Soviet-era KGB back in the mid-80s. According to industry sources, Russia security services will have free access to all phone and internet communications. Law enforcement agencies will be able to wiretap without having to show providers court orders, allowing eavesdropping, the analysts have said. Russia, of course, has pulled out all the stops for their Winter Olympics in Sochi, which is a subtropical region in Russia, spending over US $50 billion. So this is, believe it or not, it's actually taking all the summer games and all the winter games, lads. This is the most expensive games ever held.
I reckon Swimming Australia would have loved to have had that technology in the Olympic Village in the London Games.
What if they were running around knocking on doors?
they would have known what they were up to.
There was a bit of a controversy regarding the Olympic flame or the Olympic torch earlier this week as well, I think, wasn't there?
Yeah, it went out.
Went out, and it was relit with a Zippo. Well, apparently there's a mother flame that travels with the torch relay, and you're supposed to obviously relight it off the original flame, and that's the flame that's been going on ever since the Olympics started in Athens and blah, blah, blah. But yeah. Quite interesting, some guy just pulls out his Zippo and, you know, lights back up again and off they go.
Yeah, but how Russian is that? It doesn't matter. Any old flame will do, just light it.
Or is it tobacconist on every corner, so they just...
I thought it'd be more like some old Russian with a bottle of vodka and an old ciggy, and he just sort of spots it off the ciggy and... And away it goes and his eyebrows get
burnt. A rich sporting culture.
Matty T's actually already caught us up on Lance Franklin, so I won't stick around with that. But kind of interesting that whether or not he gets injured or is unable to play, the Swans still have to pay him out, which is kind of
incredible. Yeah, is that right, Smithy?
Oh, that'd be right. Absolutely.
If he gets too old, can't play anymore, got an injury, they still pay out the full contract.
Yeah, that'd be the deal. Absolutely.
So there's nothing worked into the contract that says you've got to actually play any footy.
I'm quite sure that'd be a condition of the collective bargaining agreement. Once you've got a contract, you've got a contract for that term. So absolutely.
So a smart deal for Buddy.
Oh, look, he must have been falling over himself to sign that contract.
So Hawthorn have been burnt a bit. It doesn't look like they're going to get any compensation picks. However, St Kilda is likely to get a compensation pick for losing Brendan Goddard. Collingwood is also likely to get some compensation picks due to losing Dale Thomas. And here's one for you, Smithy. Nick Del Santo is likely to jump the sinking ship docked in St Kilda for North Melbourne's Ruse, who were picked to hop into the 2014 finals. Did you like that? I wrote that.
Ruse and
hop
hopping.
Into the...
Yeah. Anyway. I don't think that's ever been done before. I think that's really original.
Innovative radio.
Yeah, like champagne, radio. Champagne, Rolly.
Yeah, I know. I'm becoming...
And I think you'll find Brendan Goddard already left St Kilda into last season.
Okay. Look, as long as I sound good, it doesn't. Sometimes the facts might not be there. But anyway,
sure, fine. Let's not get the facts getting away.
So David Gallup, the ex chief executive of NRL, is now the boss of Football Federation Australia. So he seems to go from one sport to another. Gallup has said the code has witnessed unprecedented growth over the past two seasons, with a 40% increase in crowds and 100% boost in television ratings. So I think they're going to have their games live on SBS this year. And the first game of the season is between Victory and Hart, I actually think. So
so was it previously not broadcasted on free-to-air at all?
Foxtel
only. Right,
so it's kind of big for the game.
I think he's kind of picking up where Kevin Sheedy left off, when Kevin Sheedy said that, you know, the Football Federation was being promoted by the Immigration Department.
He really said that? Kevin Sheedy shouldn't open his mouth.
No, especially when you're
stick to what
West
he knows.
Melbourne. What it said, he said that he generally thinks that football in this country, or soccer as we know it, will become the biggest sport within a few seasons to come. And he's been talking about the wonderful players such as Alessandro Del Piero and the other guys that have stayed with
it. All you have to do is look at the story of the Western Sydney Wanderers from last season. You know, made a grand final in their first ever season out of Western Sydney. The amount of support that that community has rallied behind that team, it's incredible. Yeah. They sold out all of their home games.
And a contrast to the lack of support to the Western Sydney Giants.
Yeah, exactly. AFL, very, very different.
Nothing.
I mean, that's the stark comparison of Sydney to Melbourne. But I tell you what, football is going to go through the roof in the next couple of years.
I'm not sure.
Prediction right here. I've said it first.
All right. Well
no, you didn't actually. David Gallup said it first, but hey.
Oh, he's paid to say it.
Smithy, the Indigenous All-Stars are leaving for Ireland very shortly, but a number of the players have never actually played before in AFL competition. So some of them, two of them are only, 19 and 18. So... And a number of players will be missing. So there was a 33-man squad originally named, but several of the big names, plus Lance Franklin, will also not be there. So I'm just wondering, is there a lot in this kind of Australia versus Ireland when it comes to AFL, and especially taking over a team when really the best players aren't there?
Look, I think it's wonderful they're having an Indigenous team playing. At the same time, it's probably the last gasp of a pretty flagging and tired concept.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think this might be the end of it.
Maybe replace it with the gay and lesbian team going over there.
Yeah.
The Pride round can replace... Well, no, we shouldn't replace the Indigenous round, but I think maybe we should send a touring
gay team. We only need 15 people. We probably only need 15 people to come out, Ben. That's probably the only issue. Yeah, so.
Let's put the call out right now.
Well, there are 22 people in an AFL side, but hey...
I'll play.
What do we call it? The gashes? When we talked about the
gay AFL?
The giffle. Giffle? All right, that's caught you up with all your sports news and interviews, and you're on The Locker Room on 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Smithy, we headed down to Kevin Bartlett Reserve on the weekend to see Pride Football Australia's second national event being fought out between Melbourne and Sydney. It was quite a good event, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a great day, nice weather, good turnout, and we had a bit of a wander around, have a bit of a chat to some of the people taking part in the tournament. I was really impressed just to see the sort of spirit in the games being played in. It was a really, really positive event, I thought.
You know, it was fantastic to see the two teams fight out the cup for the Julie Murray Cup was, of course, for the girls, and Justin Fashanu Cup was for the men. We actually caught up with Julie Murray, and we're going to have a bit of a listen to that interview now.
We're down here at the Kevin Bartlett Reserve, and we're watching the girls from the Melbourne Rovers and the Flying Bats from Sydney playing for the Julie Murray Cup. And actually, Smithy, we have Julie Murray here to talk about it. Julie, thanks for joining us on The Locker Room. What's today about for you?
Oh, I think it's everything about promoting diversity, promoting acceptance, and being inclusive. And I think that's not just gender or sexuality based, it's everything, it's right across the board.
And I have to ask, What's it like having a cup named after your honour?
I know, it's, you know, when you sit back, it's, you think it's pretty crazy. You see these cups growing up, or you know that people play for cups when you're growing up, and you're going, oh, I wonder, that's pretty cool, I wonder how they feel, and it's kind of pretty humbling, actually.
Why are matches like today so important?
Well, I mean, football is the world game, of course. Probably much to Victoria's dislike, but no, I shouldn't say that. Look, football brings about, it brings together all people of all colours, all races, all religions. You know, it is a world game. And it just, it's a great promotion for that type of environment.
And so games like today are a way we can promote that inclusiveness and diversity in sport. What else do you think football in general needs to do to be more inclusive?
I think like anything that we need to, I said before, I've said it a number of times, is that be self-accepting or within our own communities. We need to actually accept ourselves a little bit better or you know, a lot better. And then, you know, a platform like football is one of those great ways of doing that. Don't get me wrong, it's still not without its barriers. But I think matches like this and promoting matches like this and what it actually stands for is certainly a great start.
You're being a FIFA ambassador for women in sport. Do you think it's important for professional organisations such as FIFA and Soccer Australia to champion anti-homophobia causes and inclusivity?
Oh, certainly. I think it's... I mean, I think they do that, in a number of ways. I think that they probably don't want to be exclusive in terms of being anti-homophobic or whatever it might be. Rather, they look more broadly. But you're right. I think that they certainly can champion certain things. They do in terms of some of our remote communities. I think that they could probably do a little bit better. But, you know, again, it's not... I won't say it's not an easy subject to tackle. It's a human, social issue. And football certainly is... Look, I think football is certainly one of the greatest platforms or environments to actually start the conversation. And that's where it all begins.
Because there'll be people out there who'll say, you know, we have anti-discrimination laws, we have standards in place that apply to everyone, and it's not the role of sport to... be a place for social change. It's just about sport, it's not about politics. What would you have to say about a view like that?
I'd say that it was probably a little bit naive to say that sport doesn't drive some agendas, or sport has some of the greatest politics in the world. We all know that. I think it's an area. Well, the sporting environment or athletics and all those sorts of things is an environment that has the ability and the reach to all levels, you know, males, females, all levels of ability. I think that that's probably a pretty naive statement to make.
Julie Murray, thanks so much for joining us on The Locker Room on Joy 94.9.
The Locker Room with Ben and Rolly on Joy 94.9.
And the big game between the girls, between the Melbourne Rovers and the Flying Bats from Sydney was an absolute cracker. The Melbourne girls were up 3-0 late in the second half, and a couple of late goals from the Sydney girls brought it really, really close. And it was a fantastic finish, but the Melbourne girls did get over the line in the end, and there were some absolutely fantastic celebrations going on. While that was happening, we had a chat with Joseph Ropolo. He's the vice president of the Sydney Rangers, and here's what he had to say. Joseph, welcome to Melbourne.
Thank you. It's an honour to be here.
How are the boys feeling going in today's game?
Look, I think they've been training really well. They've put in 6 weeks of hard work. We've actually had, for the first time, 3 competitive winter comp teams this year. So the boys are a representation of our firsts, our seconds and our over-35s team. So pretty excited with a mix of new and experienced players.
And that's just playing in the mainstream comp in around Sydney?
Correct. Yeah, we play for the a club called Balmain District Football Club, and we play in the Canterbury District Football League, and we play in the all age and the over 35s. So yeah, we just play against regular straight boys every weekend.
And what's the reaction to you guys like being in Sydney to being the openly gay team playing in the local comp?
Yeah, sure. Look, I think overall their action is fairly positive. Saying that, we've been around a long time. The club's been going since 1997, and we have had our fair share of minor hiccups, nothing too serious. But they've always been dealt with. We have a very supportive club, and they've always addressed any issues that we've taken to them in a positive way. So we're really happy to provide a safe haven, so to speak, for gay boys, and pretty much they're straight friends if they want to be part of our teams, and we do have a number of openly straight boys in our team.
Jose, when I seen you arrive here with your bags, you seem to pull out some very colourful rainbow laces. Tell us what that's about.
Yeah, sure. We just wanted to be supportive of the Stonewall charity group in London. They've just started a campaign that went to all English Premier League teams. They sent rainbow laces to every professional English Premier League player. And we just wanted to, I guess the message is to highlight that that gay men and women play sport, that we you know that we want to that I guess there is a bit of an inconsistency that not one English professional footballer is openly gay. One of the reasons why we named our trophy of the men's game the Justin Fashanu Cup was to celebrate the fact that Justin did decide to come out in 1990. So we're wearing rainbow blazers today just to show our support for the campaign and gay people in sport in general.
What does a tournament like Pride Football mean to you guys?
It means a lot. I think it's one of the first times in gay and lesbian sport that we've got such comradeship between the girls and the boys. Our relationships between the clubs have really been strengthened in the last couple of years, and it's just great to sort of celebrate football as a community. You tend to find the boys usually go off and do their thing, and the girls do their thing in other sports. So we're really excited to be part of a national tournament like this, which is inclusive of both gay men and lesbians and the whole community in general.
You're in the Locker Room on Joy 94.9, and we will be back very shortly.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
I think we caught up with the founder of the Rovers, didn't we? We've got one more interview, John Player. I love that, last name Player, and of course, he's a soccer player, so... No?
Yeah, and
right. it was stunned. Silence is...
Yeah, I know.
Silence is deadly on radio, so I know you're stunned at what I'm saying.
Yeah, I just didn't know where it was going, I guess.
Okay.
What did happen shortly after we interviewed him is that the boys started to play their game, and it was another away victory. There's never been a home side win in the Pride football tournament between the men, so the Sydney Rangers came out 2-1 winners over the Melbourne Rovers.
Look, if any Rover supporters are listening, don't take this the wrong way, but the Sydney guys were looking, they were there earlier. I timed them. They arrived there earlier. They had their bags. They were in a team group. So maybe when they're the away team, maybe they're more likely to be on it.
Be prepared. Yeah. You're touring,
like,
you're taking
it
seriously.
On it like a car bonnet. That's what I like to say. Anyway, let's take a listen to what John Player had to say.
Down here at the Kevin Bartlett Reserve at the Pride Soccer Tournament. We've been joined by the founder of the Melbourne Rovers, John Player. Welcome, John, onto the Locker Room.
Thanks, guys. Great to be here.
What a great day out. And so being a founder, I mean, from the first original days, you must be pretty proud to where it's got to today.
Actually, I'm very proud of where it's actually gone to since we first started back in 2008, and from back in those days with Justin Fashanu Cup, and then moving into the second Pride tournament now, Pride Football Australia. So it's actually really, really exciting and proud of what this has turned into.
And so where did the idea for a gay soccer tournament come from?
The Sydney boys will love this. I used to play for the Sydney Rangers a few years back, and when I moved to Melbourne, I thought I was going to join another team. But I thought, no, there's got to be enough gay people out there or gay-friendly people wanted to play soccer as well down here in Melbourne when I moved down here, and really started investigating. And now this is where we're at here, five or so years later. So really, really excited.
So why should people get involved? I mean, why get involved in the Melbourne Rovers?
Well, look at the weather down here. But no, really, it's an opportunity for anyone, really, just to have a bit of fun, play a bit of sport, and mingle with people who are really accepting of everything to do with homosexuality and everything along those lines. So I think it's just a whole lot of fun, and just come and join the girls, come and join the guys, and you'll have a lot of fun.
And so we've got the girls playing out here at the moment. Is that a particular source of pride for you to see the guys and the girls competing on the same stage at the moment?
Absolutely. My ultimate goal was, when I first brought the Melbourne Rovers about, was to actually include men and women together, because there is sometimes that stereotypical thing, men versus women in the gay community. So it's like I really wanted to bring them together, and this is to see this, the women involved in playing at the moment and playing the last few years. It's just such an achievement, and I'm really proud of it.
So the lads will be playing after the women here very shortly for the Justin Fashanu Cup. What is that about, and how did it come about?
Well, basically, that started when I just wanted to sort of took the idea from Melbourne Surge and the Sydney Stingers from the water polo, actually, just have a bit of a grudge match. And Justin Fashanu came about was really, he is a real pivotal part in the Premier League back in the day when he struggled with his homosexuality and coming out, etc. And unfortunately, you know, it didn't work out in the end. But just really celebration of what he's achieved, and then what gays in sport are actually trying to do, and we're actually doing really well.
And of course, this year we saw the coming out of Robbie Rogers, you know, the professional football player, coming out and actually coming back into the game again as well. Do you think the game is becoming more inclusive at a professional level as well?
I think it's a long way to go, but it's started and it's getting there, and I think give it a few more years and I think we'll just everyone will be a lot more. And I think with what's happened with him, it's just outstanding, and it just shows that people are willing to accept what we're trying to do. We're just trying to play sport and not doing anything else, that, you know, it's just all about sport and just health and just a bit of fun.
John Player, original founder of the Melbourne Rovers, thanks so much for joining me and Smithy in the locker room on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Smithy, the Winter Olympics are less than a year away, and athletes are preparing for what will be, for many of them, the biggest competition of their lives. Sochi in Russia will welcome athletes from around the world, but it seems from recent anti-gay legislation passed by the Russians that some athletes will be more welcome than others. The Olympics pride themselves on being an inclusive event, but for athletes such as openly gay Australian snowboarder Bal Brokhov, this may not seem the case. Bal, welcome into the locker room.
Awesome. Thank you guys for letting me join you.
Oh, no, it's all our pleasure. Bal, for any athlete to come out is a huge decision. Why did you decide to do that?
Well, I love inspiring people, and like I felt like if I just came out now, I'd not only just go Olympics as myself and compete as myself, I'll be most like comfortable with that. I'll be able to inspire people to not be afraid of who they are, regardless of any sort of law or hate out there about the gay community.
And Bal, what's the reaction been like?
It's been so positive. I've had tweets, emails come in about, you know, supporting me and everything. It's been great.
Elton John sent an openly gay cricketer a bunch of flowers, but I don't know if you got that lucky.
Nope.
I mean, all this stuff that's happening with Russia at the moment and other countries, does it change how you think of the games?
Not really, but it is disappointing, like, for Russia to do that. It is discriminating. And in some ways you can take it personally because there's not many gay athletes going to the Olympics. But it definitely doesn't change what I think the Olympics is at all.
And in terms of what will go on at the Games or what goes on before the Games, do you think more athletes should speak out? They should take a stand about the laws that are being passed, or should sport be above politics?
I definitely think sport should be above politics, and like social beliefs should be, shouldn't be included with sport. But like, if more athletes come out, that's more support for us, and you know, who knows, it could, you know, change the law.
Bal, you know, the Olympics are all the very serious side of things and sport and in the athletes' village, but there must be a bit of the fun side as well. You must be looking forward to, you know, the best athletes from around the world and one location. You must sort of get a bit of downtime as well, do you?
Yeah, I get lots of downtime. you know, I live on a farm down on the Mornington Peninsula, and it's nice just to get away from all the hype and all that. But it is great, and it's a great honour to be competing against some of the best in the world.
I remember during the London Olympics, actually said Grindr crashed in London 2012. I realise you won't be using Grindr, but, you know, there may be a number of other like-minded athletes there as well. So how are your presentations at the moment going for the Olympics?
Presentations as in, like, media stuff and all that?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty good. I mean, I've had, like, a lot of people asking me, oh, are you going to protest at the Games and all that stuff, ever since I did that ABC radio interview. But I'm not going to protest or anything because, you know, I've been training 10 years to go to the Olympics. But, yeah, it's been pretty good. You know, they just want to know about me and where I'm from and all that.
And as a professional athlete, you know, what does going to the Olympics mean for you in terms of your chosen sport?
It's definitely a dream come true. Like, ever since that first day I picked up my snowboard, I just thought, I'm going to the Olympics. This is what I want to do. And I've been working that I really want to do. And, you know, once I get there, it's going to be great. Yeah.
And tell us a bit about what preparation is involved for you in going to the Games.
There's a lot of mental and physical preparation. So for the mental side, I read a lot of sporting books, in all kinds of sports, like cycling, rowing, running, and just read about athletic experiences and what I can do to help me prepare for the Olympics. And then there's, like, the physical side where we have a sports scientist who gives us a program, and we train twice a day, 6 days a week, and it involves a lot of agility, explosive, strength, endurance, all different exercises.
And in terms of the actual competition itself, how are you judged, or how do you perform so that, you know, you can achieve a outstanding result?
So what it is, we go down in heats of six. So there's six girls in a heat, and the top three who cross the line first will go to the next heat, and it's by elimination until they get the rankings 1 to 40.
So fingers crossed there's more than one race at the Olympics for you.
Oh, totally.
The conditions in Russia, are they much different to here in Australia or New Zealand or Japan? Being, I suppose it is a subtropical region, isn't it, of the world?
Yeah, I mean, the snow here in Australia is quite wet, and we do have, like, a lot of storms, like, you know, hardly any sunny, like, good sunny weather. So it is good preparation here at Mount Buller or Mount Hotham or Falls Creek for the Olympics, because the conditions are quite similar.
Well, there won't be much snow on Mornington Peninsula, I suppose, as well. But how did you get into it? Snowboarding or skiing, was it sort of your parents or, you know, what motivated you?
Well, my parents on my dad's side, we had Peter Brokhoff, who represented Australia in the 1964 Olympic Games. And through him, my dad got introduced into the snow sports world. And then when he met Mum, they had me and I got introduced. So yeah, I've been skiing since I was three, and I stopped skiing when I was 15, but I picked up snowboarding when I was 10. I haven't looked back since.
Oh, that's brilliant. Thanks so much for joining us in the locker room tonight, Belle. And we wish you all the best next year, and we'll be monitoring your progress, and hopefully we can get you back on here sometime soon.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Smithy, warm weather, I'm starting to think touch, but you're starting to go the other way. You're starting to put on the baggy green and dust off the old jack and heading down to the green. So what's going on here?
Yeah, we love ball sports here, but it's been reminded to me already that this is a bowls sport. So we're going to talk about lawn bowls, and we're joined here by Adam Fitzgerald. He's a past president of the Melbourne Lawn Bowls Club and a current player in the Victorian Pennant League. Adam, welcome to the locker room.
Thank you.
What is it that draws people under 50 into lawn bowls?
Oh, well, a lot of people, I think, of my age and younger, I'm 38 and been playing for 20 years, have some sort of familial association to a bowls club. And so just being around it and thinking, oh, yeah, you can give this a go. And probably in the last 20 years or so, it's been a lot easier for younger people to get into bowls clubs.
Is the sport gay-friendly, or have we got an official gay team out there?
There's no official gay team, but it is a sport that's been played at the first two Asia Pacific Out Games.
Oh, up in Darwin.
No, the first one was here.
Oh, first one. Sorry, I'm thinking the next one. I'm always thinking future. Yeah. Sorry, we're talking past here. So, whereabouts?
First one was here in Melbourne, and the second one was over in Wellington. And yes, it'll be played in Darwin next year as well.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, we're thinking about going up to Darwin, aren't we, Smithy?
Yeah, maybe we should go up and play lawn bowls.
Lawn bowls and touch.
And touch. We can do both.
Oh, that's touch rugby, of course.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
just to clarify. Now, look, I was playing a bit of barefoot bowls on the weekend. And I imagine there's some slightly more intense competition out there as well.
Yeah, so I play in the Melbourne Metropolitan Pennant, which is on Saturday afternoons, and yes, it's a more serious competition than the barefoot bowls, which a lot of people will have experienced. A little bit less drinking. And
Is there any trash talk out there, or people are sort of usually pretty nice to each other, or do you sort of start getting in their ear just as they sort of line up to let go?
There's a bit of everything.
Yeah,
I've been asked to go out in the car park after the game.
Ooh. Jeez. And the attire, what is it, just all still all whites, or just flashy colours? Or
no,
what's
it's been a long time now that it's not been all white.
Yeah.
At Melbourne, our uniform's navy blue pants with Melbourne down the side, and our shirt's got a big demon on it. It's a much better demon than the Melbourne Footy Club anyway.
Oh, good.
And for people who don't know much about the sport, is there a lot of commitment involved? Do you have to train? Can you get coaching? Like, how can you get more involved in the sport?
So most clubs will have a club-appointed coach, and they're available for any new bowlers who want to learn. And then, really, it depends on how much you want to commit to playing the sport. I practice once or twice a week to play on Saturdays and then play tournaments. So,
look, if you sound like the idea of, you know, possibly even heading to Darwin next year and getting involved in a sport and a social club, it sounds like bowls is the way to go. Thanks so much for joining us tonight in the locker room, Adam. And so St Kilda, I hear, is the probably the best bowling club, is it, to join?
No, Melbourne, which is Melbourne? In Windsor.
Oh, Windsor. Oh, well, there we go. I was thinking St Kilda. Sorry, I'm affiliated with St Kilda, so maybe we can go that way as well. You're in the locker room on Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Well, Smithy, what's on this week? The Great Aussie Bake Off is actually occurring at DT's Hotel. Pride March, who's a big supporter of the locker room and sport in general, they're having their fundraiser there. So the Great Aussie Bake Off. Now, we recently had the Magpies, or the Pink Magpies, on. They seem to think they're going to win it. So that's at DT's Hotel in Richmond on the 12th of October. So you can go down there and check out your cakes and pastries.
I think last year I saw a cake baked in the shape of a giant grinder app.
Oh, really? Yeah. I hear there's actually been, not that this is techno gaze, but I hear there's a lot going on with the new grinder app, new Windows and things like that. So, no?
I wouldn't know anything about it, Rolly.
No, well, okay. Well, we won't go down that avenue then.
This Saturday night we've got, at Etihad Stadium, the opening of the A-League season. We've got the Heart versus the Victory.
Yeah, that's a big game, isn't it?
So I reckon we should do a bit more about the round ball game.
They're going to behave themselves this year, or the fans, I hope. There was a little bit. There was trashing of seats and burning of
flares and all that stuff. Yeah, I know. Look, it's a pretty well behaved sport these days, I think, especially at the A League level. But you know, Melbourne's got two clubs, the Heart and the Victory. I wonder how it is that people decide between these two clubs, which one they're going to support.
I think everybody usually goes for Victory, don't they? And Heart is just a few sort of scraggles around Clayton and Dandenong, usually. I think, isn't Victory the bigger team?
Well, they're the more established team. They've been around for longer, so maybe more people jumped on that bandwagon. But
maybe we should divide it down the middle, north of the Yarra, south of the Yarra, and go that way. It just seems like there's no sort of affiliation in terms of what part of town you're from.
Yeah, strange stuff.
What better way to celebrate Oktoberfest by joining us for beer, bratwurst, pretzels and some of Australia's very best pro wrestlers in action in the heart of the city on Friday the 18th of October. You'll be able to catch the Amigos, and they're having their big competition at the Interactive Sports and Entertainment Event Centre. So you can Google that if you want to go down and see the pro wrestlers.
I might give that one a miss, but I reckon that'd be your thing, Rolly.
Oh, would it? All right, so I think it's time for Smithy's Corner, so where we talk about sports articles and what's going on. So, Smithy, one thing I'd like to talk about is the netball. So New Zealand has conceded the Constellation Cup in a frustrating fashion last night. They played Australia, the Diamonds.
Frustrating for you, I think, Rolly. But...
Well, this is what's kind of interesting. So netball's has become very physical. the captain of the side, she decided to jump on the New Zealand goal shoot's back at one point. So when the cameras weren't looking, so the New Zealand media has been going insane about it. But it looks like the Kiwis have lost anyway, because Australia now are 3-1 up in the competition with one game to play. So.
Yeah, that would probably indicate that Australia's going to win. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's fine. They can have
Look,
that one.
Look, I think New Zealand's not really happy unless there's something that Australia's done on the sporting field to outrage them.
Well,
we've had the underarm deliveries, and we've had Hadley's a wanker, and we've had all that stuff. And look, yeah, I think it just shows that Australia means a lot more to New Zealand than New Zealand means to Australia.
Yeah, you're probably right. I'm not going there. So another query, the international charity Oxfam has refused to take donations from Summit Sports. So you've been a rugby player, you'll know Summit, the ball maker?
Yes. Yeah, of course, yeah.
You played with their balls.
But why are they doing that,
okay.
Rob?
after the Australian company admitted it was using... So, anyway, Oxfam's refused donations from the company because they've finally come out and admitted that they've been using Indian children to stitch their footballs. Summit promised to donate a quarter of its proceeds from the sale of balls to the charity following a Fairfax media investigation that revealed the company's use of child labour.
Now, just on that, boys, footballs, responsibly manufactured footballs. David Pocock, of course, a big friend of the show, former Australian Wallabies captain, has a charitable organisation called Hero Boots. Now, they make football boots and footballs that are ethically, or the materials are ethically sourced, and they are produced in a non-sweatshop environment, and they are available for sale on the website. So if you're looking for an alternative, there's an option for you.
I imagine adults are better at stitching things than children too. They're probably better quality.
Well, bigger fingers.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, it'd be kind of interesting, because Rebel Sport and Harvey Normans, I don't know what Harvey Normans is selling, just Summit rugby balls, but this is what the article says, they're going to stop selling them. But the interesting thing is Summit is the official rugby ball of the Wallabies, is that correct? And the Super, so it'd be interesting to see whether they're going to stop playing with Summit balls.
There's always some sort of controversy, isn't
I know.
There?
And so didn't Sheridan have the, is it Sheridan?
Sheridan would be a brand of Manchester for the home, but Sheridan, who make ball, AFL ball.
There was a scandal there as well, wasn't there, about the way their balls were manufactured, and something was given out to the Auskick kids, was it last year, the year before, and all the footballs were, irresponsibly manufactured?
Oh, look, I think the AFL's generally had a year they could want to forget.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't surprise me if they had a child labour scandal amongst all the other scandals that have gone on. Well, now Ben, you've been living up in Sydney now for a bit, and you would have been subjected to the mania over the Rugby League Grand Final. And also, it would seem the wall-to-wall gambling advertisements during the Rugby League Grand Final as well.
Yeah, look, NRL fever definitely set upon Sydney last weekend. In fact, the build-up has been sensational, like the semi-finals and the qualifying finals. It's quite a hype. I think you forget, I haven't lived in Sydney for a long time, of how just big it is over there. You guess you don't see it down here. But yeah, more shockingly, I guess, is that wall-to-wall gambling advertisements that you see across all the telecasts. It's something that we don't see here in Victoria as much with the AFL, and certainly not with the rugby union, when we're obviously being broadcast on pay television. But I think probably about every 60 seconds we saw a Tom Waterhouse ad during the NRL Grand Final. And certainly in the lead-up, I counted it. You know, I sort of opened my beer and sat down on the couch with about 10 minutes to go before the game started. 16 times I saw Tom Waterhouse.
Jeez. What happened to a good old-fashioned game of Keno? I remember Keno used to come through every minute. Now it's Tom Waterhouse and his, mummy's doubles and all this kind of
rubbish. It's interesting, I think, because, we look at gambling and, you've obviously got things like poker machines and casino gambling, which is becoming less and less socially accepted, I think, isn't it? And there's been a lot of bad press. But for some reason, gambling on sports still seems to be, the great Australian pastime and a sort of a rite of passage. And it's interesting that still seems to be, quite okay.
But the other thing I noticed is it's not just advertising. It's actually sort of integrated into the broadcast. So the commentators will just suddenly say, now it's throw to Tom Waterhouse, who's got the latest odds. And it's actually part of the actual show.
Yeah. Well, there was a big controversy with Channel 9 and Tom Waterhouse earlier in this, at the beginning of this season. And that has been scaled back quite considerably. So now you only see Tom Waterhouse in the commercial breaks. You don't actually see him as part of the broadcast anymore, but he was actually pitch side at the beginning of the season. They throw to him standing on the sideline.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Yeah, locker room on Joy 94.9, boys. Now, of course, NRL Grand Final time. Ricky Martin is in Australia on tour in his white suit, Gloria. I tell you what, there would have been a lot of fake tan on that white suit after you saw Ricky Martin's performance. I tell you what, is he flogging this song? This must be, what, 15 years old?
Well,
still sing it.
Kind of interesting.
Taking it to Rio.
Kind of interesting thing was they actually ranked this as the best pre-grand final, event, in terms of a singer, even in comparing AFL and rugby league. So
I thought the hunters and collectors at the AFL grand final were pretty spectacular.
Well, I thought that was the highlight of the AFL grand final. It was the most entertaining bit of the whole thing.
Well, Malboy came out and sang, fill me up, and then Ricky Martin was out there with Shake Your Bonbon.
I quite like Jess. I mean, thought she did a great job.
Yeah, no, she did. She did. I don't know.
She's a little overexposed when it comes to rugby league now, isn't it? And they always just wheel her out.
Yeah, yeah.
But rugby league fans, I just imagine the rugby league fans, and you've got this sort of quite openly gay carrot guy out there singing, Shake My Bonbon. It just didn't really seem like the same world some way. So, they were sitting there with their South Sydney weren't even in the final. They're Roosters and they're Manly. So, you're a Manly hater, aren't you?
Yeah, not a fan of Manly. No. The original Cheats, I think, and I grew up in Sydney and I don't know, I grew up hating them. And, so I was never followed the Roosters before, but God was I yelling at the TV for them.
Sonny Bill, he was pretty much who won the game.
Absolute machine, Sonny Bill. So
that's all right. Well, Rugby Union lent Rugby League Sonny Bill for a year, win the grand final, so he's now going to go back and play.
Incredible,
for the
though. He's just won a World Cup, he's won a Super Rugby title, he's now won an NRL grand final. What is left for this man?
AFL. Smithy, North Melbourne.
He would be a great AFL player. There'll be no Israel Folau-esque poor conversion. Would he go to Melbourne?
Sydney wouldn't fit him in the salary cap.
No.
I don't know. They can fit pretty much everything under the salary cap in Sydney at the moment, I have to say.
Oh, yeah, that cost of living allowance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cappuccino and lunch allowance as well. Lads, that's been a great show tonight. Thanks to all of our guests. We'll join you next week, Wednesdays at 7 o'clock in the locker room on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.